Let's go. So Joe Sloan spoke yesterday at the LSU media press conference, and this is very important because the second most important coach on your team is the offensive play caller. Third most important is the defensive play caller. And you only get to hear from Joe Sloan twice. Normally, during the Brian Kelly era, you get to hear from a coach once in the spring and once in the fall. And ironically, if you listen to the other spring press conferences from offensive and defensive coordinators, you could actually learn quite a bit dating back to the Mike Denbrock era. So I want you to listen closely to what Joe Sloan had to say about Garrett Nussmeier.
The run game and the red zone scoring, in particular, coming off of last year, just sort of what's the mission to make those two areas into maybe more strengths for this team?
So the run game in general or the run game in the red zone? Well, they are linked, right? So I think you hit on a key point, right? You know, we have to score our touchdown percentage in the red zone is something that's going to be critical, right? It is critical every year. And I think there's multiple things that come with that, right? Obviously, being able to, when you get down low, being able to block the extra hat and do different things to account for him. One, sometimes that's quarterback run game, right? Sometimes that's blocking with receivers. And we'll attack it in a lot of different ways. And I think that's been a huge focal point, right, this offseason and things that we're going to do. The other piece is, right, when we have opportunities to make plays and one-on-one opportunities, we got to make sure we get the right guys in those spots and then give them the tools to make the play, and then we're going to go make the play, right? And we're working on all those different pieces because that goes into the touchdown percentage of the red zone. That's critical. It's critical. It's something that we'll focus on from now all the way through the season. And we know we got to be great there, right? Because we're going to be in a lot of games that come down in the fourth quarter, and it's going to be about, right, did you settle for three or did you get four? A couple of those times, right? When you had those trips. And I think that'll be key. That'll be key for us. And you know, whenever I think the whole thing is simplicity, showing the same pictures to the offense, right? And then letting them execute in those situations. That's where you bring out their physicality. That's where you bring out their violence. If we can continue to do that, right, and we can build that way and be confusing for the defense but simple for us, man, our guys can go play fast. And we're trying to create that for them. But we got to be multiple in the run game, right? I mean, that's a different, you know, Garrett needs to run more. He knows that, right? That's something that we've talked about. But Garrett's not going to go run for 1,000 yards next year, okay? I don't think you guys need to worry about that, right? So, right, we need to be multiple in our run attack, right, and be able to attack people different ways. And that's really been the focal point. But yet, keeping it, as we get more multiple, keeping it simple for our guys so they can go attack. And I think you saw that growth, right, as not to get into last year because this is about this year, but you saw the growth as year went on. And then that's been the focal point, right, moving into this offseason and then pairing it all together. And making sure it all pairs up together and we can work our different actions and things like that off of that. And that's been a huge piece this spring. And I think the kids have really attacked it, you know, and I think we've been able to do some good things and make sure that Nuss sees those pictures and understands, right, how he needs to help us in those situations, which has been really, really good.
All right. So normally when a coach rambles, you got a really good question in. Wilson Alexander also asked another really good question. We'll play more of the Joe Sloan audio a little bit earlier, but the major takeaway is he said Garrett Nussmeier needs to run more. Now, a few years ago, before Jaden Daniels' historic Heisman Trophy season, we had Mike Denbrock say Jaden Daniels needs to throw the football deep and needs to do it better. And what happened? Jaden Daniels became the best deep ball thrower, arguably in the history of college football. Per PFF grading, it was their highest graded deep passing season. Now, you're not going to see Garrett Nussmeier have the highest graded rushing season, as Joe Sloan just mentioned, but Sloan throughout this press conference was very open, while also at the same time being very vague. He did a good job, obviously, complimenting all the transfers and talked about the offensive line room. But the one specific thing that he hammered home is that Garrett Nussmeier needs to run more. Now, the thing that's very important before we get back to more of this Joe Sloan audio isn't that he needs to just run more. It's there needs to be different variations of Garrett Nussmeier running. The biggest, of course, is just the QB scramble game. When there's nothing open down the field, there was just wide open rush lanes for Garrett to run through last year, and he just wouldn't take it. And even a 4 or 5 yard run is a positive gain. It helps out your pass rush or your pass protection, and it slows down the other team's pass rush. There were plenty of times in the Florida game where the second level of the defense would just turn their back on the quarterback and wall off any in-breaking routes, and the pass rushers themselves behind a struggling offensive line would just have free rein to either rush in either lane that they wanted to without the fear of the quarterback leg game hurting them. And that can put a tough hamstring on your offense. And then, of course, you have the QB run game in the actual run game, which, of course, are zone read pulls. There were plenty of instances where Garrett could have pulled and ran for a few yards. Now, we don't know if those play calls had that tagged in there, if they were handoff all the ways or if they were indeed pull plays. But if you have just a few of those pull reads, it's also going to help out your run game when you actually do hand it off to your running back. Friendly reminder, the Texas Longhorns with Quinn Ewers, who is indeed slower than Garrett Nussmeier, the play that they called to seal an SEC road game on a 4th-and-1 was a QB zone read pull. And that's because, of course, you're not used to Quinn Ewers running, and that game was the Arkansas game. So having Garrett be a runner and be a part of the run game is going to be really big. And I know I keep going back to it, but it is one thing when the actual head man who's been Garrett Nussmeier's quarterback coach pretty exclusively over the last 4 years, outside of course Garrett's true freshman season, that was one specific thing that Joe Sloan brought up in this press conference. Now, what I want to do for this stream is go through all the other things that he had to say in this media briefing. Oh, I got to share the screen. That's my bad. There you go.
Together, how they have fun playing with each other, play with energy, play with passion. I think that's carrying over to our physicality at every position. And that's what I think has been the most fun to see and the most exciting to see, really, on both sides of the ball. I think the defense is playing excellent. A lot of good stuff, a lot of back and forth, a lot of different situations, and guys have responded to it well. So we've got a lot of learning. Our staff's been excellent. Obviously, got a couple new additions who've brought a bunch to the table, and then a lot of familiarity. So it's been a good offseason, moving into spring. But I think the kids have really taken to heed what we've been talking about and putting into action on the grass. So that's been awesome.
Hey Joe, Wilson Eisenman with the Advocate. If you were to do a self assessment and look back on your own year one as a play caller here, sort of. Where do you think you needed to improve, and how are you trying to go about doing that going into your second year?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is we have to make sure as an offense that we can attack people in multiple ways. And, you know, different defenses and what we see will call for some different things. But we got to make sure that we create a balanced offense that we can attack people in a lot of different ways. And at times last year, right, maybe there are some things that we could, right, that we could get better at. And I think we've attacked those things in the offseason, right? And that's the big thing. And that's where I see with Garrett, but with the entire offense, how we're focusing on just building, right, multiple ways to attack defenses. And here's the thing. It takes all 11, right? It takes every single guy from our receivers, right, and the way they come in and block, right, the way they crack safeties, to our tight ends, to our alignment, to our quarterback's understanding and all that. And I think we've attacked that really well in January, February, leading into spring ball. And I think that's been the exciting thing. So that's what I want to continue to see grow.
Hey, Coach, can you just talk about your relationship with Garrett? I mean, this is the fourth year you're working with him, right? And he's happy with some things he did. There's some things he wants to clean up. Just how's that going? And, you know, making that jump from year one to year two as a starter.
No doubt. You know, Garrett's fabulous. I've enjoyed coaching him every year in all his different situations and how he's grown, how he's matured, and just the man he's becoming, right? Who he's becoming, that not only as a football player, but as a person. You know, when you look at Garrett was prepared to play, but then there are certain things that he needed to go through that you can only get preparation by playing, right? You can only get the experience by playing. And I think he's learned from that. You know, this offseason has been able to be a little bit different because now he's going back, and when he's studying, he's not just studying his practice tape or maybe our tape and what could happen. He's looking at specifically some stuff that he needs to improve on. And I think he's been really intentional. Really, some of our staff did a great job of breaking some different things down for him so he could really see some individual things, and he could take back control of those situations, whether it be, whether it be something technical with a throw, whether it be the understanding of a defense, whether it be how we're playing, whether it be our footwork, all different kinds of things. And being able to really be intentional, take control of that and make those corrections. And a lot of that, right? And the big thing now is taking that to practice, right? And really a lot of it he's been doing a great job with. And then there's still some things, right? We're still a work in progress. That's the great part about spring practice, because you really can't wait to get to spring practice, because now it's like, okay, all right, I feel this. I'm making this correction. Okay, I still need to maybe think differently about that situation. And now let's make that correction the next day. And I think he's done an excellent job of attacking that. I couldn't be more proud of him. I've really seen his leadership. I think his confidence and who he is as a person, just his leadership carryover this year. He was always a leader. But I think he's done an excellent job of that, just really being organic, being real, being genuine. And I think the guys are gravitating to it. It's been good to see. It's been a lot of fun to see for him, but excited about the room. I think Mike's done a great job. He's had his learning the offense, right? That's been a big piece for him. When he gets comfortable, he got comfortable there midway through, played really, really well. Then we got in some new situations, right? Now we get back in those same situations. Now he's playing well again, right? I think he's doing really well. He's battling through, and he's working on the things he needs to work on. So I couldn't be more excited about what Mike and the growth he's made, and then Juwan and some of the different things that he brings and what he's done in some different unique situations and packages. I think he can help our football team. So excited with the group.
So that was Joseph, obviously talking about the quarterback room. You know, I keep going back to Michael Van Buren. You know, this is a new offense. I don't think people quite understand the mess that was Mississippi State last year. They really didn't have big weapons with the new coaching staff coming in, and they had really bad offensive tackle play, and Mississippi State normally has decent offensive line play. And Michael Van Buren, as a freshman, went up against one of the hardest SEC schedules I have ever seen. So I am of the belief that LSU really is excited about Michael Van Buren. I think the Juwan Johnson situation is interesting in that you don't really know what you're getting out of him as a quarterback, because you did recruit him to play defensive back. But it's fascinating to me that people don't quite see the positives in having a third quarterback on the roster during spring ball. It does help with the overall rep count, the overall flow of practice. So whether you believe Juwan Johnson's going to be a quarterback that will be a factor of this LSU offense, the good news is two things. Number one, he does give you that third quarterback for better practice flow. And number two, he does mimic and mold himself in the same way that a lot of the mobile quarterbacks LSU will face this year will be. Because, look, they were not good defending mobile quarterbacks last year, and that needs to change. It's one of the biggest challenges for this LSU defense next year. So let's go back to Joe Sloan. We'll continue more of this press conference as we break down what the LSU offensive coordinator has to say for the next season.
Hey, Joe. I was going to actually ask a follow-up on the other two quarterbacks. Could you give us an assessment of Michael Van Buren from your perspective, what you all liked about him,
as a player? And then also the decision to move Juwan to quarterback, is that something that was depth or is that a permanent move for him?
Well, one, let's start with Mike. You know, Mike obviously played extremely well, did a lot of great things at Mississippi State last year. So when we had the opportunity to add him to our roster, we couldn't have been more excited. I think Mike, when you watch, when he gets comfortable, when you've really seen it, we've seen it a lot this spring. His comfortability in the pocket is exceptional. I mean, it is exceptional. And I think that's a really huge talent for him. And then he can drive the football now. He can touch every piece of the field with his arm. He can drive the football. So I've really liked his growth. Some of the things that we do, he hasn't necessarily done, but he's a quick learner. Once he does it once and as he feels it, he's been able to make the adjustments and make the growth. I think, you know, both Tim Rattay and Trey Holtz and some of the different things they've been able to do. And that's a great part when you have great coaches. We're able to kind of split off, you know, and really focus on what the individual guys need. And I think that's helped Mike a ton. And Juwan wanted to come back to quarterback. It couldn't be more excited to have him. You know, he's obviously a different style of quarterback than maybe the other two guys. He's going to definitely, right, you're going to have to respect his feet. And, you know, just working through him, I think you've seen his growth from a passing standpoint. He throws a good ball, but in terms of his read progressions and doing the things he needs to do. And then, you know, just his footwork and commanding the huddle. I think he has great leadership skills. And obviously he's been electric with the ball in his hand, made a couple big plays when we've been in live tackle situations. So I think he's been excited. He's been fun to coach. He's attentive and he's getting after it.
Hey Joe, just a little bit of a recruiting question for you. With the way kind of the 2025 class ended at quarterback, just was there anything that you learned from that experience in terms of how you want to recruit in the future, or just maybe just explain just that aspect of it a little bit, if there's anything you learned from it?
Well, you know, I think things happen, right? Things happen in college football and you do what's best for the program. You make the decisions that are best for the program and you rock and roll forward. We couldn't be more excited how everything worked out, right? You know, I mean, I think Michael's done an excellent job. We may not have been in the same situation if that was the case, right? I think Michael's done an excellent job. I couldn't be more excited to have him and what he's done. And I think, you know, just the all the different pieces that we have here, I couldn't be more excited about the future of the offense. So in terms of, you know, recruiting, I think just in today's world of recruiting, every day is a new day. You just keep attacking that day. It's all about relationships. It's still all about relationships. You got to go with those first. Obviously, there's some external factors, but we can't worry about the things we can't control. We just got to continue to recruit to the best of our ability with our relationships, talking about LSU, talking about Coach Kelly's program, talking about the tradition of this place. And that's why you continually see excellent players committing to LSU. The staff that we have is fabulous, right? And they come here and they feel that. They're excited about the development and that they're going to get within this program. And that's what we continue to focus on. And that's been working pretty good.
Coach, this offense as a whole going into next year is going to look a lot different than it did this past season. What are you liking from the weapons you brought in, especially with Barry and with Nick and, you know, the upgraded running back room? So what are you liking from the weapons that you brought in, and how do you think that's going to improve the offense from last year?
Well, I mean, I would say, you know, it's not just the guys we brought in, but the guys that are back. We have a ton of talent when it comes to, I couldn't be more excited about the receiver room, tight end room, running back room. You know, when it comes to the weapons, you know, and the skill type players that you're talking about. I mean, from the kind of football that Chris Hilton's playing to what Aaron's doing. And I think Aaron, I mean, this time last year, right? Raise your hand if you said Aaron was going to be, right, probably one of our leading receivers. Okay, good. I didn't think so. Right. Okay. Right. And just the way he's attacked this offseason, I couldn't be more fired up, you know, and then to Zay and how the way he's playing, and Kyle Parker, who's, even though he had not able to go full speed, is out there attacking it every day. And then the additions, right, in terms of all the different guys that have been added from Fad to Berrion to Nick, right. The different guys that are moving through with some of our young guys. I don't think it's about any one guy. Really, it's about the core of receivers. And I think that's the thing that makes it exciting. It's a long football season. We're going to need every guy to play at their absolute best level. And I think they love playing with each other. They love getting after it. They're attacking it. And that's what we want to see, because we know we're going to get into the season And for the type of goals we have as a football team and as an offense, we're going to need the guys to play at elite level. And it can't just be one or two. It's got to be as a unit. And that's what I think we're building. I think Cortez has done an excellent job with those guys. Honestly, you know, just from a retention standpoint, a recruiting standpoint, and then a development standpoint, I think they've had an excellent spring. You know, and then on to the tight ends, you know, obviously adding in Bauer and Donovan, but Trey Des being back and the growth that he's had, the way he's practiced this spring as a complete player, man, he's pretty electric. So, you know, and the way Bauer's come in, I think Coach spoke the other day, I saw where he made a comment about his mentality. You know, I think that's been excellent for us. And Donovan's been a very experienced guy that has a level head and can kind of bring a calm, cool demeanor to the group. So I think there's a lot of different pieces that are exciting about that group. And then, you know, Giovanni, who we got to see, you know, he's been the bowl game warrior the last 2 years. Okay. But I think he continues to grow and develop. And I think it speaks to the development of our program. And then we got, you know, another young guy who we're going to continue to get back in JD. And then the, you know, from the running back standpoint, last year, this time, you know, in the spring, really only had Caleb, and then Josh was kind of hobbled, right, working through the spring. And now this year to be able to have Caden, Caleb, Harlem, you know, and a couple other guys, I think that group's been pushing each other, creating competition. I think Caleb's had some of his best practices as a Tiger. I think Caden's been great and working into his second year, you know, and then Harlem really starting to get comfortable and show flashes. So I love what I'm seeing from the different pieces of the group, and we're going to need everybody. Right. We're going to need everybody to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And that's kind of the mindset. Right. We got to push each other. We got to have competition, and we got to create depth and an environment where I'm going to step up when my number's called. And that's what I think those guys are doing.
So let's discuss a few things. The first is, out of all the criticism I've given Joe Sloan, and I'm looking at each and every one of you directly, whether you're watching this live or after the fact, I will always defend him for the Bryce Underwood saga. I think there could have been 20,000 simulations that happen with Bryce Underwood's signature, if you will, whether he was going to pick LSU or if he was going to pick Michigan. And if you're presented the amount of money that was presented to him, you probably would have done the same thing, especially if it involved proximity, playing for the hometown state. And the thing is, Joe Sloan spent so much time recruiting him. I cannot stress enough how many recruiting trips up to Michigan were made by Sloan. And you mix in all the recruiting had to do when he was actually on campus. That really took a toll on Joe Sloan, and it would take a toll on anyone. But, of course, if Bryce Underwood never comes, you're never going to get Michael Van Buren. And, of course, the path for 2026 is wide open, and probably, outside of what just happened with Bryce Underwood, the most heavily recruited position will be the 2027 QB with Elijah Haven and Colton Nussmeier. More than likely, you're going to land, hopefully, at least one of those guys. So I really felt for Joe Sloan because it was a tough year. He took a lot of criticism from people like me. And at the same time, the one thing that everyone kept going back to is that Joe Sloan is about to land the highest-ranked recruit in the history of LSU football. And it didn't happen. So it took Joe Sloan, obviously, probably a week or so to come down from that and then get back to business. I will also say this about the recruiting aspect of the position. Is it important? Yeah, it's absolutely important. But the play calling aspect of being an offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach is so much more important than even being a recruiter, if you will. So I felt bad for Joe Sloan. Now, he also talked about the running back room, and the LSU staff is high on this running back room, and I don't think a lot of you are. I think a lot of you think Harlan Berry is very good. I think a lot of you think Caden Durham will probably be an all-ACC team member if the run game is to get better. And even if it doesn't, you know, his pass-catching ability out of the backfield was very good last season. But you're worried about the others, right? What the heck is going to happen here with Caleb Jackson? We'll see. We've talked quite a bit about Caleb. We got another video on Caleb Jackson coming out pretty soon. So I'm pretty excited to share that with you. But, you know, normally LSU running back rooms, last year, like you mentioned, it was very thin during the spring. But normally this room is deep with a lot of different bodies in there. But right now there are three scholarship running backs in that room. And that tells you what they think about Harlan Berry and Caleb Jackson. Obviously, they know that Caden Durham could be an SEC performer. Now, he talked about the tight end room as well. I still like Donovan Green. I understand that the star of spring has been Bauer Sharp, and that makes sense, right? Donovan Green was not as productive as Bauer Sharp was last year, with Sharp leading Oklahoma with 40-plus catches. And then, of course, Tre'Davious Green coming back. He will be one of the biggest options on this LSU team. But I'm with Joe Sloan in liking this tight end room. And look, he mentions that Mason Taylor was the room, basically, over the past couple of seasons. And what that does is, number one, it is shocking that Mason Taylor was as durable and as good as he was, because he played so many snaps and we motioned him so much. And despite all that exhaustion, he was still able to perform at the level he was able to perform. But I do think in the modern game, you need to be deep at the tight end position. You know, even the best tight end of all time, arguably Rob Gronkowski, when he went down, the Patriots were still able to go to Martellus Bennett in that famous Falcons Super Bowl. Georgia, you know, they had Oscar Delp behind Brock Bowers. For our tight end room to be as thin as it was and has been even pre-Brian Kelly, we need to do a better job of developing depth at that position. And obviously, some tight ends are better at some things more than others. I hope one of those three tight ends turns out to be an elite blocker for LSU next season. It's just going to be so big. Okay. Let's go to a few of your comments here. Cole wants to talk some Caleb Jackson. He's thick in the legs like Earl Campbell thick. I was actually watching a YouTube video on Earl Campbell not too long ago. I think people, I'm not going to say he's underrated, but he's underrated. Like, I think everyone could recognize that name and know he's an all-time great. But I still think probably in the grand scheme of things, in particular, early in his NFL career, he is underrated with one of the best rookie running back seasons in the history of the league. Now, I want to tell you about our friends at Fast Draft Fantasy. Before we get to more of this Joe Sloan audio, Fast Draft Fantasy, please go sign up today. Promo code is Carter. You get a deposit match bonus up to $50. Drafts that last less than 10 minutes and just off a $10 buy-in, you can win $20,000 with our friends at Fast Draft Fantasy. It helps me out in more ways than you can imagine by just downloading the app, promo code Carter, and doing at least one draft. That's all they're asking you to do. Do at least one draft, see if you like it. They have rookie-only drafts right now, and they are hot, baby. So, look, one guy that is falling in a lot of these rookie-only drafts is Mason Taylor. So make sure you draft him. And if you think Mason Taylor will ball out of control next year, he could win you a lot of money. We say hi to Tony the Tiger. And coming up next, we have more of the Joe Sloan audio.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I got to show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 spin booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go.
What do Barrion Brown, Nick Anderson, and Destin Hill, what do they bring skill set wise to your offense? And where are they in the playbook?
You know, I think they've done an excellent job. I think all the new guys, really, up front, tight end, receiver, I think they've done an excellent job picking up the playbook. I mean, we got a lot of new faces, right? And they haven't necessarily been in this offense. And there, at times, we get a little bit, we can have a lot of offense, right? And I think those guys have done an excellent job studying. I think we got great teachers, right, too. I think our coaching staff does an excellent job in the way they teach. But I think those guys have done a great job. And then, you know, I think obviously you can see in the different just skill sets that they bring, but I've been really excited about, you know, Barrion. Just he's been obviously brought speed, but I think he's been an all-around receiver in what he's done. And I think you continue to see his growth and development. Nick obviously is a massive human, right? Just his playmaking ability. And then Fat's been really good. Destin has been great coming off his knee injury and to play the way he's playing, and just his workmanlike attitude and what he's been able to do, make plays. I think all three of those new guys. But again, just like we talked about before, all the guys we got coming back, and I think all the pieces are fitting together really well in that room, you know, with, like I said, and I'm not going to go back through them, but Chris and Aaron and Zay and Kyle and all the different guys that we have coming back, the way they're playing. I'm excited about the receiver room, and I think Garrett is too. And you're seeing them gel together, right, as we work through the spring.
You kind of talked about him, but is Trey Dez just scratching the surface on, you know, what he could be, and Bauer, his addition to the team as well? And, you know, those are two different kind of builds and guys, right? How do you mix and match them in the tight end room?
Yeah, I think the cool thing is Bauer and Trey Dez have really hit it off, you know, as well as Donovan. And I think Alex is doing a great job of putting those guys in that room and creating an environment, right, where they work together and push each other. You know, Alex and Nate Dodson's been here now for 2 years. He does an excellent job as well. And just how those guys are pushing each other and competing with each other. You know, they both have excellent skill sets on the perimeter. But at the same point in time, I think they bring a little bit different things, you know, when it comes athletically. And so does Donovan. They all kind of bring different things. I've heard people describe a tight end room as that you want like a basketball team, right? Everybody can't be the same, because we're going to have a lot of different assignments and roles that we ask those guys to play. And I think when you look back what Coach Kelly's done with tight ends, and now what we've done with tight ends since we've been here, right? Now, mostly one guy, right? Mason Taylor. But I think you see the emergence of Trey Dez as we got through the second half of the season. And then you watch his growth this offseason. And I think he's going to speak to the development of this program. You know, his attitude is infectious, man. I mean, his attitude, the way he attacks things, is infectious. And he can be as good as he wants to be, and he continues to push every day to do that. I couldn't be more proud of him and excited about him being here. But obviously then, you know, speaks to the rest of the group too.
We've spoken to a couple of players this spring, and they've talked about how physical the offensive line has been this the first couple of weeks. Can you just speak to maybe what you've seen from that group in terms of the physicality and kind of the growth of some of the young players you're going to be relying on there?
Well, the fun thing about the offensive line group is that there is now – there's a lot of competition. And every day you got to go out there and bring it, because if not, there's somebody else who's breathing down your neck. And we've been rolling a lot of different guys, giving a lot of guys opportunities, and kind of see who continues to rise, right, as the group goes on, as the spring goes on. But we've made an emphasis. We've made an emphasis, not just at O-line, but at every position, about the physicality we're going to play with. And I think that starts up front, right? And when they're doing it up front, then it carries over to receivers. And like I talked about earlier, the way we've been blocking on the perimeter, I think that's changing, right? And that's a massive piece to what we need to do for our offense. And it opens up so many different things. But I definitely think it's going to start up front, right? And the emphasis on coming off the ball, right, and moving people. And I think the kids are taking heed to it, you know, and getting after it. I think the competition is bringing out the best in all of them.
The run game and the red zone scoring in particular coming off of last year, just sort of what's the mission to make those two areas into maybe more strengths for this team?
So the run game in general or the run game in the red zone?
So that was the audio we played a little bit earlier, and we've already discussed all of that. So if you want to see it, go to the beginning. Now, we will, programming note, have a post-game show Friday after the game in Spokane between LSU and NC State. I've been watching some of the NC State highlights. They blew the brakes off of Michigan State for them to go to this Sweet 16 game. Do we have a shot to beat them? Yes. Yes. They are extremely athletic. They are long in the paint. Not as big as what you would face versus UCLA and Lauren Betts, but this is going to be a tough game. But LSU, of course, beat them earlier in the season, and you have to feel good with the way LSU looked the other day. Now, one thing it is important to note as far as LSU versus NC State is that all the higher seeds essentially blew out the lower seeds outside of a few games, that legendary Maryland versus Alabama game. So I don't think we can at the same time get too carried away with how good we looked in the second half versus Florida State. So it is something. Now, one thing that I found to be very interesting is load management. It is very clear that LSU looks really fresh with all that extra time off, with all the players that played a lot of minutes throughout the season. You know, compared to some of the other elite teams, LSU's just not as deep as those teams. Now, their three best players are as good as any three best players on any team out there. And the reason why I think that's important is because if those three best players have to essentially carry you in almost every game that you play throughout the regular season, the two-week break would tend to help a team like LSU more than it would help a team that has a deeper rotation of, let's say, 5 to 6-ish very, very, very good players to where LSU only has three. But I'm telling you, if Samaya Smith plays as well as she did versus Florida State, LSU will win the game versus NC State. The ACC is not ready for what's going to hit them on Friday night, so we're really excited about that. So there you have it. You know, I think as far as LSU baseball is concerned, I did indeed tune in to portions of last night's game. You know, I don't get too carried away in the UL Lafayette rivalry, if you will. I try to stay out of the cat fight, even though I'm always going to back up. And I don't know this guy at all. I really, really, really don't. I will always back up Cajunomics, though. That guy has definitely helped me out in watching games in the past. But I unpopular opinion, I don't know why there's such a deep-seated rivalry between LSU and UL other than simple identity politics. UL doesn't like the fact that they are called ULL, or they're not called Louisiana or Louisiana University or whatever the hell, the University of Louisiana. I don't try and get too worked up about it because it's not a rivalry. It's not something we don't play them in football. We don't play them in basketball. We play them in baseball and softball. And, you know, really, UL's triumph in softball a few years ago, I've kind of just forgotten about that. But for some reason, so many Raging Cajun fans have a disdain of LSU. And that is perplexing to me in so many different ways. You're taking a look at the LSU calendar. Obviously, there really isn't anything big until baseball tomorrow night. It is a Thursday series, 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. Central is when first pitch will happen. We'll probably go live tomorrow night at 6 to accommodate that. And, well, we always go live at that time, but still, okay? So, really excited about that, but, you know, my main focus is Friday night, LSU versus NC State. Now, it's going to be tough because LSU plays NC State at the exact same time as LSU versus Mississippi State game two on Friday night in Alec Box Stadium. My full focus will be on the Spokane game with NC State. That's where my focus will be. The Spokane regional, if you will. And it's not a regional, Spokane round of 32. So there you go. Or Sweet 16, if you will. Now, that'll do it for me. I just wanted to go over basically everything Joe Sloan had to say. It is, to me, the most important press conference outside of a big story in Brian Kelly that any player or coach does, because we never get access to Joe Sloan. You know, there was something he said at the end that I wanted to save towards the end. He says the right things. And I like Joe Sloan. I like him as a recruiter. I like him as a hardworking guy. I like young coaches getting these big opportunities. And he did say something that I feel is the right thing to say, but it's also very hard to execute, in that you want to show the same picture but give the defense different results. So giving the defense a lot to question, and you offensively doing basically the same thing but something slightly different. So what I would recommend you do is go watch our spring practice breakdowns. The playlist is set up. Go watch the ones where there are offensive players on the thumbnail. And what you'll see is three different plays at the beginning of each and every one of those videos. Alex Atkins is on the cover of part one, where we basically cover a basic counter run play. Then Garrett Nussmeier, his thumbnail, there is a shovel pass, basically the same play, but it's a shovel pass to Caden Durham. And then there is a third fake counter where they throw to Chris Hilton, and that was our latest video that we dropped yesterday. So make sure you go check that out, all right? And that's what he means, showing something similar but doing something slightly different. So instead of handing it off, you're throwing it short. Instead of throwing it short, you're throwing it deep. These are obviously very simplified ways of describing it. I'll keep this guy anonymous because he is an anonymous Twitter account, and I have beef with some anonymous Twitter accounts, especially ones that are very opinionated. But I'll save this for an opinionated Twitter account I saw yesterday, and I saw him tweeting about Will Campbell. And the LSU Pro Day was today. Mason Taylor had a big day. Josh Williams had a big day. So Mason Taylor really, really, really had a huge day. Kyron Lacy ran sub 4.5, which is pretty good. But his vertical wasn't all that great, which, you know, it is what it is. But one thing that was very interesting to me is this anonymous Twitter account said that the LSU offense operated on, quote, Heisman mode. All right. So a lot of you are familiar with the NCAA video game, which I have not turned on in 4 score in 7 years. So I bought the whole system, thinking about selling it. I love playing it. I just don't have the time to play it, per se. But I was perplexed by that. And when I went back, I saw that tweet. And so what I decided to do was just go rewatch as many games as I possibly can. So I rewatched 3 games. And I agree. And I know it's like something that, you know, I've referenced quite a bit during live streams. It is so hard to succeed on offense when everything has to go right for the play to succeed. And when you watch some of these other offenses, a lot of it is just the play call opening things up. Now, are there offenses, let's say, you know, one of my favorite players in the SEC last year was Trey Harris, Louisiana native. Secretly wanted to go to LSU, friends of Malik Nabers. Yeah, he made Ole Miss's offense better. But even when he was out, they put up 60 points on a decent SEC defense. So you need Joe Sloan next season. As much as I complimented him, the results are the results. We have got to have a better run game, and we've got to have more gimme plays opened up, whether that be tight end leaks, whether that be run your blockers one way but run in the opposite direction. I've seen some of those play designs during LSU spring, which is something that would excite and should excite you. So I'm really pumped up about all of that. Now, don't forget, please support our friends at Zion Imaging and Fast Draft Fantasy. Please sign up using my promo code Carter for your chance to get that deposit match bonus. Okay. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing Mahi Mahi. Let's go. Let's go.